Okay, we are ready to begin. Biblical villains number 4. The last of the series for this season on Bilam. I'm just going to take advantage of the captive audience for a moment to mention that My Sefer on Megillas Rus, Rising Moon, is available for anyone who is interested at the staggeringly discounted price of $23.95 or $24 if you're paying cash. Check, credit card also accepted. Just yesterday, well, I hope it wasn't yesterday, actually. It was probably the day before. Just the day before, somebody who lives in a kind of isolated area of Miami, don't know of anything Jewish in that area, but who was purchased the Sefer as a gift for someone. Which reminds me to say, it was their second purchase, so they obviously liked it enough to purchase it as a gift, which I would encourage anyone to do. Makes a wonderful gift, especially for people you dislike.
No, great book.
Okay. Bilam. Bilam was no mere wizard. We'll leave wizardry to the likes of Harry Potter and Gandalf. Bilam was a very great prophet, rivaling Moshe himself. In fact, the Medrash Rabbah in source number 1 makes a remarkable statement, "V'lo kom novi od b'Yisrael k'moshe." No prophet, the Pasuk says, that no prophet arose in Israel to rival Moshe, to which the Medrash comments, "Be Yisrael, O come." Amongst the nation, among Israel, there was no rival to Moshe, Avol Be'umos come, but among the nations, there was a rival, and his name was Bilam. The Tanit Ve'Eliyahu, also in source number 1, goes a step further and says, "V'lo hiniach HaKadosh Baruch Hu davar ba'olam shelo gila le'Bilam." There was nothing in the world that God withheld from Bilam, did not reveal to him. Shehaya me'u, get this, shehaya me'ula b'chochmoso yoser mi'Moshe. He was even wiser, greater in his chochma than Moshe. Bilam's wisdom, insight, and advice were sought after around the world. And again, the Midrash Rabbah in source number 2 observes, "Shonu Rabboseinu, Shnei Chachomim Omdu Ba'olam." There were two wise men who arose in the world, Echad mi Yisrael, the Echad mi Ovdei Chachovim. One was Jewish, one was Gentile, Achitofel mi Yisrael, and Bilam Me'umo Sa'olam. And further, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, "Lo omdu filosofin ba'olam." There were no greater philosophers in the world. "Ki Bilam ben Ba'or ucha Avinimus Hagardi." Like Bilam, son of Ba'or, and Avinimus, the weaver. The Talmud in source 3, Morin Brocho says, even considers, including the words of Bilam in our daily tfilos, so that alongside our daily kriyashma, we would have our daily reading of the poetry of Bilam. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Abo ben Zutrasi, Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Bar Zvida, bikshu likvoa parshas Balak b'kriyashma." Get this. This would have been really wonderful. They wanted to establish the reading of the entire parsha of Balak, which includes all the poetry and prophecy of Bilam, in our daily davening as part of Kriya Shema. Umipnei malo kavua, why was it not established? Mishum torach tzibur. Would have been a bit much. Would have been a bit much, but in theory, it would have been done. Clearly, Bilam had something very important to say. So important that his words are considered an independent section of the book of Bamidbar. The Talmud in Bava Basra states in source number 4, Moshe kosav sifro, Moshe wrote his book, the Torah, uParshas Bilam, and the book of Iyov. So that Parshas Bilam is so important that his words are considered a separate, independent piece from the rest of the Torah. Not only is Bilam's section assimilated into Moshe's book of Bamidbar, but it comes over time to define the entire book. The Talmud Yerushalmi in Maseches Sota, source number 5, teaches, Halo hiksuva al sefer hayashar. There is a bit of the poetry of David HaMelech that is recorded in the book of Shmuel, his eulogy on the over the fall of Shaul and Yehonasan. He says, Behold, it is written in the book of the just, the Sefer HaYashar, the book of the straight. Train Amurin, there were two opinions. Chad Omar Ze Sefer Bereishis, one says that the Sefer HaYashar, this book of the just, is another name for the book of Bereishis. V'chorono Omar, Chorono, one of the sages of the Talmud Yerushalmi, says, Zechumish HaPikudim, it is the book of Bamidbar, that is the book of the just. Why? They're both called the book of the just for the same reason. Because as we'll see soon, Bilam, in one of his prophecies, in one of his prayers, says, Tomus Nafshi Mos Yishorim. I should die the death of the Yishorim, of the just. Who are the just? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So the one opinion is that the book of the just is the book of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, book of Bereishis. The other is of the opinion that it's the book of Bamidbar, because of Bilam's statement regarding Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So either way, it's Bilam deciding or determining this title, the Book of the Just. And it is nothing less than astonishing that centuries later, King David should identify the Book of Bamidbar in terms of the words of Bilam. So what exactly is his significance? And how does his section form the essential part of the book of Bamidbar, and thus of the Jewish experience in the desert? That's the overarching question. An historical perspective on the years in the desert will be helpful. We must bear in mind that the direction of Jewish history suffered a drastic transformation after the sin of the golden calf. Although God agreed to the survival of Klal Yisrael, which was of course originally in question, he agreed to it upon the intercession of Moshe Rabbeinu, although he even agreed to still give Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael, he agreed to do these things without him, without his presence. The divine presence, the Shekhinah, would not be going along for the ride. If you look at page 500, wow, I opened exactly to 500. Page 501 in the English, chapter 33, verses 1. This is the bottom pasuk on page 501. Hashem spoke to Moshe, "Go ascend from here, you and the people whom you brought up from the land of Egypt." This is, of course, taking place after the Egel HaZohav. "To the land about which I swore to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, saying, I shall give it to your offspring. I shall send an angel ahead of you, and I shall drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Chivite, and the Jebusite to a land that flows with milk and honey, because I shall not ascend among you, for you are a stiff-necked people, lest I annihilate you on the way." This news marked the beginning of a period of mourning that became a hallmark of the Jewish experience. Take a look at page 502, which we're on actually, 503 in the English, verse 4. "The people heard this bad tiding, and they became grief-stricken, and no one donned his jewelry." God explained that there was no choice. He and Klal Yisrael had become so profoundly distanced that for Klal Yisrael's own protection, they could not risk God coming near them any longer. And let's take a look now at verse 5, very next pasuk. Hashem said to Moshe, "Say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. If I ascend among you, I may annihilate you in an instant. And now, remove your jewelry from yourself, and I shall know what I shall do to you." Now, this jewelry is a big issue, but it is a Purim issue, so we're not going to enter into that now, although Bilam actually lies at the heart of Purim, as we shall see. Moshe argues with God, and he contends that if Klal Yisrael is not to be distinguishable from the Gentile nations, there is no point in continuing the journey to Eretz Yisrael. The new relationship is envisioned, as he envisioned, would only work if the relationship is discernibly unique. The Talmud in Maseches Brachos, and this is source number 6, describes Moshe's demands. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi Shlosha Dvorim Bikesh Moshe Milifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God made three requests, made three requests of God, the Nosan Lo, and they were all granted. He requested that the divine presence would indeed rest upon the Jewish people, even in the aftermath of the golden calf. V'nosan lo, sheneamar. What are the words in which Moshe Rabbeinu made this request? He said, "Halo belechtecha imanu." It is only if you travel with us that it is worthwhile. Because shelo tishre shchina alov de kechovim v'nosan lo. He further requested that the divine presence not rest on the Gentile nations, and that too was granted. Shenemar, here are the words of the request, v'niflinu ani v'amcha. I and this nation, your nation, must be niflinu, we must be distinguished from the Gentile nations. If the divine presence rests on everyone, then we are not distinguished. And Bikesh Lahodio Durochov Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he requested to know the ways of God, to understand God's behavior, if you will. Shenemar Hodienina Esterochecha. Now, if you take a look on page 510, well, first, We'll take a look at 5:11, page 5:11, verse 10. He said, "Behold, I seal a covenant. Before your entire people I shall make distinctions, such as have never been created in the entire world and among all the nations, and the entire people among whom you are will see the work of Hashem, which is awesome, that I am about to do with you." And now at the Rashi on the facing page on 5:10, to this verse, verse Yud. The Rashi, it's the top line of the left-hand column of the Rashi. Se niflaos, niflaos, wonders. Lashon v'niflinu. This is derived from the same word as to distinguish. Shetiu muvdolim bizu mikola umos. You will be distinguished in this thing from all the nations. Shelo tishre shchinosi aleihem. My presence will not dwell or rest upon them. And the rest of the Torah, from this point on, describes the construction of an environment for the Shechina. The rest of the book of Shmos, all of Vayikra, the book of Bamidbar, speak of the construction of an environment for the Shechina. The Mishkan and the Machaneh, the camp that surrounds it. That's the essential topic of almost the balance of the Torah until the book of Devarim. So that the rest of the Torah emerges out of Moshe Rabbeinu's vision. And now at last in Bamidbar, in the section of Bilam, do we encounter the crowning achievement of Moshe's grand design. The Mishkan and the Machaneh are now, by this time, in the Parsha of Bilam, are now complete. And along comes the greatest prophet from among the nations, extremely great, as we saw at the outset, probing for any breach, exposing every angle, using any means to diminish Klal Yisrael. And he discovers that they are really, truly, undeniably different. Take a look, please, at page 864. 865 in the English. Chapter 23, verse 9. Bilam says, "For from its origins I see it rock-like, and from hills do I see it. Behold, it is a nation that will dwell in solitude and not be reckoned among the nations." These very, very awesome, awesomely famous words, "Hein om livadod yishkon." And when he makes this discovery, the moment Bilam makes this discovery, he loses his prophetic gift forever. Take a look at the next page. No, sorry, page 872, not the next page. 872. 873 in the English. Verse 14 at the very top. "And now behold," Bilam says, "I go to my people. Come, I shall advise you what this people will do to your people in the end of days." Rashi comments on this verse. It is the very first Rashi on the facing page, 872. Right-hand column, "Holech la'ami, I am going to my people. Me'ata hareini kisha'ar ami, from now on I am like the rest of my people. She'yistalek HaKodesh Baruch Hu Me'olai. God is leaving me. I am no longer going to be a prophet." So it was that at the very moment when it does become known that your people are in Am Levadod Yishkon, will be distinguished from every other nation on the face of the earth, the final crucial element also fell into place. Prophecy among the nations ceased just as Moshe had asked. And the Midrash in Source 7 teaches that Bilam, the Hu Acharon Shebekulam, Bilam, he was the last of the Gentile prophets. This sealed the bargain that Moshe had struck with God. Prophecy among the nations ended. Bamidbar completes the fulfillment of Moshe's vision and provides the structure for the Shekhinah to dwell among Klal Yisrael. Here then is where we must look to discover the essential definition of Klal Yisrael, a definition that can be discovered, incredibly enough, in the juxtaposition of Bilam himself and everything that we represent as Klal Yisrael, because it is here, in Bilam, that we have become ultimately distinguished as who we are. Bilam was the object and the embodiment of the request that I and your people will be distinguished from every nation on the face of the earth. Whatever characterized Bilam must therefore be the diametric opposite of what characterizes Klal Yisrael, a mirror image so hauntingly familiar to us that the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, in source number 8, must enjoin us incredibly to make certain we know what is the difference between the disciples of Bilam and the disciples of Avraham Avinu. Look at the Mishnah in source number 8. Ma bein talmidav shel Avraham Avinu l'talmidav shel Bilam Arasha. It's a remarkable question. Talmidav shel Avraham Avinu, in case you didn't know, ochlin ba'olam hazev and ochlin ba'olam haba. They not only enjoy this world, but receive an inheritance in the world to come. Aval talmidav shel Bilam Arasha, yorshin gehinom, v'yordim lebe'er shachas. They are doomed to eternal hellfire. When we look in the mirror, we should see Bilam. He was mishpacha, a lot closer to home than you might have thought. You will recall, of course, that Terach had three sons. Avraham, who was the grandfather of us, of Yisrael. Nachor, who was the grandfather of Lavan and Rivka. And according to the Talmud in Maseches Sanhedrin, which is source number 9, Bilam's father, Beor, was Lavan. And Terach's third son was Choron, who was the father of Lot, and of course Sarah, the grandfather of Moav through Lot, and thus of Balak, Bilam's employer. So Bilam's hostility is thick with tangled histories and similarities and complications of family. As Tolstoy observed in the famous opening of Anna Karenina, each unhappy family is unhappy in its own way. And this was one very unhappy family. The Mishnah intimates that after all the wondrous distinctions that Torah and history have taught, it is still possible to miscalculate, to be, as a Jew, a disciple of Bilam. We therefore need urgently to know what did characterize this man who provides the mirror that allows us to understand ourselves as Jews. Bilam's section is a tale of brilliance swallowed by ego. It is a parable of imagination encountering reality and delusion confronting truth. Bilam is a person driven to complete self-deception. He considered himself to be the equal of the original Yesharim, as I mentioned earlier. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He is the one who says on page 866, 867 in the English, verse 10, top pasuk. Who has counted the dust of Jacob or numbered a quarter of Yisroel? Remember that. We're going to come back to that. May my soul die the death of the upright. Tomus nafshi mos yisharim, as I cited earlier. And may my end be like his. And if you look in source number 10, the Gemara in Avodah Zorah says, well, we've already seen this actually, my Sefer HaYoshar, Amr B'chia Barabo, Amr B'yochanan, the Sefer Avraham Yitzchak V'Yakov, Shenikru Rishoyim, Chas V'Shol, Yishorim, Shenemar, Tomus Nafshi Mos Yishor. The irony here is palpable. It is Bilam who designates our Avos as Yishorim. And the title sticks. It is Sefer HaYoshar because of Bilam's insight. And yet the Talmud's logic is not at all circular, because it is indeed only through Bilam's dreams for himself that we discover the core specifications shared by Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov themselves. I'd like to explain this. He is filled, Bilam, is filled with the passion of Avraham. Page 858, 859 in the English, verse 21, bottom of the page. Bilam arose in the morning and saddled his she-donkey and went with the officers of Moab. And Rashi points out on the facing page on 858 at the bottom of the left-hand column, Chof Aleph Ayachvosh Asono. He saddled his donkey, Mikan Shahasina Mikalkeles Es Hashura. You see here that hatred, intense hatred, will disturb the normal course of events, normal behavior. Shechovash hu ba'atzmo, he himself saddled his donkey. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said, Rosha, kvar kidomcha Avraham avihem. Avraham, their father, has preceded you in saddling a donkey. Shenemar vayashkem Avraham baboker vayachavoshes chamoro, for the Akedas Yitzchak, Avraham also arose first thing in the morning and saddled his donkey, upon which the Talmud comments the opposite, that ha'ava mikalkelas es ashura, love also disturbs the normal course of behavior. He sees himself equal to all the Yeshorim combined. He offers, as Rashi points out here in the Parsha, he offers a number of karbonos that equal the total number of karbonos offered by Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov in the book of Bereishis, because he is not only equal to any one of them, but to all three of them. Yet, he fools only himself. He doesn't even fool his own donkey. The Talmud relates in source 11, the officers of Moab, the noblemen of Moab, asked Bilam, "My time alo rachav tosusya, why aren't you riding on a horse?" Omar luhu, shadoi luhu biretiva, I sent it out to pasture. Omrolei, so the donkey spoke up and said, "Halo anochi asoncha, I'm your donkey. What are you talking about?" Bilam said, "Latiina ba'alma, I just use this donkey to carry things." So the donkey continues, "Asher rochavto alai." What do you mean? You ride on me all the time. "Oh, no, akroi ba'alma. I only do so when the horse isn't here." "What are you talking about?" says the donkey. "Me'odcha adayom azeh. I've been your loyal mode of transportation since you were a little child until today. V'lo od, and not only that, elishani oselecha masa yishus balaylo, we even sleep together. Ultimately, Bilam is driven by his insatiable ego and ambition to self-destruction. He becomes the paradigm in the Torah for the famous Talmudic principle brought in source number 12, B'derech she'adam rotze leilech bo molichen oso. In the way that a person wishes to travel, wishes to go, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows him to go. You choose your own fate, your own destiny. Yet, as we have seen, Bilam was a very great man, a philosopher prophet of the highest order, the equal and in certain respects the superior of Moshe himself. Chazal identify Bilam's most unusual ability. And in understanding this ability, we will come to understand much about ourselves. The Talmud relates in source 13. This is very, very crucial. Mai viodea das elyon. It says regarding Bilam that he knew, viodea das elyon, he knew the mind of the one up high, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He knew God's mind. Shehaya yodea lechavein osa shah shaKadosh Baruch Hu koes ba. He knew how to, this is his singular power. He knew how to identify the moment when God gets angry. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, El zo'em b'chol yom. God rages every day. V'kama zamo, how long does his rage last? Rega, an instant. Shenemar, ki rega biapo, chayim birtzono. The Pasuk in Tehillim says that his af, his anger is for a rega. And life is forever. Life is his wish, his will. Now, Ibo Yisema, another verse, Chavi Kima'at Rega, go into hiding for a Rega, Ad Yav or Zam, until God's Zam passes. Now remember, I said before, how Moshe neutralized God's threat to wipe out Klal Yisroel. We read this pasuk together. He neutralized God's threat to wipe out Klal Yisroel the very instant he was to go in your midst. Well, if you look back there at page 502, keep your hand over here if you, in this parsha, back to 502 for a moment, 503 in the English. Well, we saw the English. Let's look at the Hebrew. The Hebrew is revelatory. Page 502, Pasuk Hey. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Emor el Kol el Bnei Yisrael, Atem Am Kshe Oref. You are a stiff-necked people. What is the language of the Pasuk? Rega Echod Ele Bekir Bechav V'chil Yisicha. In one rega, I will go amongst you and wipe you out. One rega. The English translates it, of course, as instant, which is correct, but you lose the flavor in the translation, because rega is, as we've just identified, the ability to identify rega is the particular power of Bilam. Moshe's solution to the problem of God's presence within a Klal Yisrael that was compromised after the golden calf was Bilam. Bilam, who would distinguish Yisrael from every nation on the face of the earth. Bilam, who would bring an end to Gentile prophecy so that the Shekhinah not communicate with other nations. Bilam, who would furnish through his own miscalculations the first exposition of Klal Yisrael's uniqueness. Bilam, who is Yodea Das Elyon, who knows the mind of the Most High. Bilam, guru of Rega, would crumple and drag Rega down with him. And thus Klal Yisrael would survive the presence of God in their midst. Let's revisit the Gemara in Sanhedrin, source 14, for more insight. Mai viodea das elyon. Again, what is the meaning of this? He knows the mind of the Most High. Shehoya yodea lechaven osashosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu koes ba. He knows how to determine the exact instant when God is angry. V'hainu tekoamar luhu novi liYisrael. This is the meaning of the pasuk in Micha, Ami, my nation. Zichorno mayoatz bolok melech Moav uma'ono oso Bilam ben Beor. Remember what was said by Bilam ben Beor min ashitim v'aragilgo as they looked over the entire expanse of the camp of Israel. L'mandas tzidkos Hashem, so that you will know the righteousness of God. My l'mandas tzidkos Hashem, what was the special kindness or righteousness of God? Omar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, de'una kama tzedakos asisi imachem. You must know how many kindnesses I performed for you during the period in the Midbar. Shelo ka'asti kol oson hayomim bimei Bilam harosh. I never once got angry all of the days of Bilam. Shil mole ka'asti kol oson hayomim. Had I gotten angry during the days of Bilam? Lo nishtayer misoneim shel Yisroel sorid upolit. Not one Jew would have remained. Not one Jew would have survived. Hainu dekoamer le Bilam le Balak, and this is the meaning of what Bilam says to Balak. Moekov lo kavoel, I can't curse that which God does not curse. Uma ezom lo zoam Hashem, I can't bring down anger on that which God has not made angry, has not become angry about. Milameid shekolosam ayomim lo zoam Hashem. All the days of Bilam, God did not get angry. Kamazamo, how long is his zam again? Rega. Rega is the essence of Bilam's philosophy. Remarkable. God, among all the other things that he is, which we don't understand, is moody. This suggests that his behavior is arbitrary. And this further implies that he's not paying attention. His awareness is incomplete. He can be manipulated. And we see that Bilam articulates this. If you take a look at page 858, 859 in the English, verse 9, God came to Bilam and says, "Who are these men with you?" "Ooh," says Bilam. And Rashi brings this out in the words, "Miha anashim." If you look on the facing page, very first Rashi, Miha anashim ha'ile imach lahatoso ba. God manipulated Bilam. He fooled him. Omar pa'amim she'ina kol golu lefanav. Wow. You see that God is not completely aware. There are things he doesn't know. Ein daito shove elav. Afani era'e she'uchal lekalel velo yovim. I'll slip in a curse. He's not paying attention. He's not always aware of everything. He hopes against hope that God is not to be found in the details. Rega reduces the world to a stage for random effects. It is the ultimate expression of mikra, happenstance, and chance. And thus, Bilam is the philosophical father of Amalek. And happenstance and chance describe God's relationship with Bilam. It is always Vayikar Elokim, Vayikar Hashem El Bilam, Vayikar. Bilam expresses his consternation at the incongruity of God paying attention to Keri. Take a look back at a verse that I mentioned to you earlier. Top of page 867. Bilam asks, Mi mana afar Yaakov, who has counted the dust of Jacob, mispar es rova Yisrael, or numbered a quarter of Israel. Now, rova does mean a quarter, but that's not the way the Talmud takes it. And of course, when you read the translation, you lose the entire true intent of the verse. Let's take a look at what the Talmud says. Now, I may be taking something for granted here, which I shouldn't. Vayikar, the word for carry, for chance, for happenstance. Vayikar, as opposed to vayikra, to be called. Moshe Rabbeinu is called with an aleph. Bilam is vayikar. God happens upon him. He chances upon him. Mikra is that word in Hebrew. And related to that word, as Rashi defines in the Parsha of Amalek, the word vayikar, asher korcho baderech, that was the basis of the attack of Amalek. They came upon us, they happened upon us, but kar also means cold. No relationship. Detached. Apart. And it also refers to keri, semen, shechva zera. And here we come upon a fascinating thing. The Gemara tells us, source 15, Dorash Rabbi Abohu, Mai dichsiv mi mana afar Yaakov umispar es rova Yisroel. What is the meaning of this verse in the prophecy of Bilam? Who counts the dirt of Yaakov or gives a number to the rova of Yisroel? Melamed, this teaches us, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Sofer es Revi Yoseim Shel Yisroel, that God sits and counts the intimacy of the Jewish people. Each time that a Jew experiences in the course of an intimate relationship, Shechva Zera, semen, God is counting. And he's counting what? Mosai tovo tipo shatzadik notzer hemen. When will the drop of semen come from which a tzadik will be formed? The aldover ze nismeis eno shel Bilam harosha. Because of this, Bilam was blinded. Omar, Bilam, he was just blown away by this vision, as most anybody would be. Right? He said, Mishu tor v'kadosh u'mishorsof t'ahorim u'kadoshim, God, who is pure and holy, and whose ministering angels are pure and holy, yotzitz bedavar zeh? He's watching X-rated movies? This is what God is doing? Miyad nismei seina. Immediately he was blinded. Dichsiv nu'um hagever shesum ha'ayin. These are the words of the man whose eye has been blinded. Bilam could not comprehend how God could desire tzadikim to the point that he spends all this time waiting, watching for the drop of semen to appear from which a tzadik will be formed. How God could desire tzadikim yet create a world that is based on keri. In this respect, as I mentioned a moment ago, Bilam is the spiritual father of Amalek and the postmodernist plague that has engulfed the intelligentsia of Western civilization since the late 20th century. Postmodernism is characterized by broad skepticism, relativism, and a general suspicion of logic and reason. It works insidiously by establishing in the minds of its adherents that there are no ultimate morals and no ultimate scientific truths. The Wall Street Journal observed in its October 9th edition of this past year, 2017, it said, quote, because this is an issue that is ripped out of the headlines. I mean, this is every single day. The effort by the extreme left to not only silence the scientific community, but to reject the validity of the scientific method is, of course, the logical and inevitable result of the postmodernist embrace of moral relativism and deconstructionism. To deconstruct. Those who believe in rega see the world as a place of utter, ungovernable chaos. The deconstructionism of rega thrives on this chaos, believing it bereft of deeper, underlying structure. The power of Bilam, as we have seen, lay in his ability to capture a single instant. Rega is the equivalent of a snapshot. A snapshot, as we all know, is devoid of context. News outlets that today function as often as not as propaganda outlets offer snapshots as evidence. They claim that the snapshot captures the entire story in one decisive moment. And the audience is perfectly prepared to formulate a judgment based on the snapshot. This is something we experience on an almost daily basis while watching or reading the news. And there is no country more victimized by rega than Yisrael. Or consider, for example, regarding this issue of context, consider, for example, the difference between pornography and love. Mechanically, they are exactly the same act. The difference is entirely a result of context. Bilam was correct in understanding the world as a place of mikra and keri, chaos and randomness. It is. What he failed to understand was that chaos and randomness are God's favorite hiding place. The Talmud in Maseches Chagiga in source number 16 states, Tana, Kav Yarok Shemakifes Kol Olam Kula. There is a green line. His secret hiding place, his concealment. God waits in that darkness, tenderly, eagerly, watching each drop of keri, awaiting the emergence of a tzaddik. But God remains hidden as long as we turn a blind eye to him. Just as science, beauty, and meaning remain hidden to the man with the blinded eye. The Gever Shesum Ha'ayin. Notice that this green line, which plays a fairly remarkable modern role in distinguishing between Klal Yisrael and those outside of Klal Yisrael. It's one of those, ooh, what does that mean, things? Anyway, this green line, you notice that, I don't have a board here, but it's very easy to visualize. The word keri, kuf resh yud, and the word yarok, green, yud resh kuf, are composed of the same letters. Now there is a third word comprised of these three letters, yikar, yud kuf resh. Yikar means honor, value, rarity, and uniqueness. Uniqueness, which has become the overarching theme of this series. Here is what this mysterious and evocative confluence of words means. Bilam and his intellectual heirs, Amalek, argue that keri means, keri, semen, means that every successful act of reproduction can only be achieved at the expense of millions upon millions of wasted sperm cells. Bilaam and Amalek challenge us to reflect on the profligacy of nature and dare us to continue to insist that any of this makes sense. God should have created an efficient world, not this nonsensical world of ours in which evolution proceeds along numberless dead ends and extinctions, billions of wasted years, hundreds of millions of organisms that apparently lived for nothing. How can we continue to insist that this world is meant to express God? Our answer is that God is hidden in the darkness of the green line. And this is a phenomenon that stares us in the face every single day of our lives. There is one frequency of light that is God's carry. Totally wasted, inefficient usage of productive energy, and that is the color green, yarok. Our counter-argument is that if this was an efficient planet, it would be black. Chloroplasts would not be green, they would be black, because they would absorb every bit of energy along the spectrum of light. Instead, this profligate, wasteful planet of ours is green because green light is not absorbed, but is reflected and wasted, except that it is not wasted. It colors a world of infinite beauty. Klal Yisrael's rejoinder to Bilaam and Amalek is, "You are quite right. But it wouldn't be a world of wasted energy. But if it wouldn't be a world of wasted energy, the grass and trees and vegetation would not be green. They would be black. You would have a planet humming along at peak efficiency. There would be no chaos on this planet. No chance or mikre on this planet. It will make use of every possible frequency of electromagnetic radiation. But black is the absence of color. Black is not beautiful. And if you argue, who cares whether it's beautiful or not? Care is precisely the point." As Dr. Seuss made in The Lorax. No Lorax readers here. Creation is not meant to be mechanical. It is meant to grow into itself through its utilization of the opportunities that can only be presented in a chaotic world. A tzaddik cannot be mechanically engineered. He must emerge out of the chaos of interrelationships that are ultimately traceable to the dawn of time. And he must emerge out of an evolutionary process that requires that every story have alternative pathways and endings. There can never be just one possible ending, for then the story would be predetermined. Predetermined, and therefore meaningless. Moshe's traveling machane replaces Bilaam's rega. Remember what God said before accepting Moshe's suggestion of the machane and Mishkan as the antidotes to the golden calf? Look back. I'm sorry to have you flipping back to 502 again. But 502, 503 in the English, verse 5. Well, done it again. Thought I got through this one without a mistake. I'm sorry, I got to send you to a different page. But it's very important to see this phrase. Here we are, page 640. 640, sorry about that. 641 in the English, verse 16. 640, verse 16. Thus, this is talking about the Yom Kippur service. The service on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, thus shall he provide atonement upon the sanctuary for the contaminations of the children of Israel, even for their rebellious sins among all their sins. And so shall he do for the tent of meeting, here's the key phrase, that dwells with them amid their contamination. The Hebrew on the facing page, Hashulchenitam bitoch tum asam, that dwells with them among their contamination. The Machaneh and the Mishkan become places where God could be Shochein Itam B'toch Tumasam, because God would become a traveler with us on a path of discovery and investment in creation. Travel is a type of exile, and it is conceived to be at once punishment and cure, retribution and purification. Travel strips away all that is not of the essence of the passenger, the removal of defining associations, of bonds to the world of place. And these all affect changes in the character of the traveler. And with this, I would like to conclude. Because character, it turns out, is the issue. Let's return to that Mishnah, that strange Mishnah in Avos in Sor 17. The Mishnah asked us to consider the difference between the Talmidim of Avram and the Talmidim of Bilam. As if we could ever make such a mistake. But it turns out we could. And the Mishnah gives us signposts. It says, Kol mi sheyesh biyodo shlosha dvorim halolu mi talmidov shel Avram avinu, shlosha dvorim acherim mi talmidov shel Bilam arosha. Three things define the Talmidim of Bilam, three the Talmidim of Avraham. Ayin tova, if you are pleased by someone else's good fortune. Ruach nemucha, if you are unpretentious. And nefesh shefola, you have limited needs. Then you're mi Talmidov shel Avraham. But ayin ro'ah, the opposite. Ruach givoha, the nefesh ruchova. If you are displeased by someone else's good fortune, if you are pretentious, if you have vast needs, mi talmidov shel Bilam arosha. The Mishnah speaks of two paths in life's quest. One, the path of Avraham, is the path of being, a path of character and connection. The other is the path of intellect, a path of ambition and control. The path of being is the path of the true Yishorim, the straight and the upright. Avram's search was a quest for what to be, and his discovery of God was a discovery of excellence and character. What he learned, he translated into the kind of person he became. In the words of Rambam in Source 18, Nikreis derech zu derech Hashem, the way of Avram is called the path of God, v'hi shalimed Avram avinu lebonov, this is what Avram taught his children. Avram wanted more than anything else to struggle with reality and to be shaped by that struggle into a man who was yashar. he founded the nation called Yisrael, which means both of these things. Yud, Shin, Resh is Yashar. Yashar El. God is straight. We aspire to that straightness, and it also means to struggle, to fight. Yaakov is called Yisrael because he struggled with God and prevailed. The other path is one of sterile intellect that leads to greed and self-deception. To Bilam, knowledge was an abstraction that provided a medium for manipulation, but made no changes in him whatsoever. The Talmud, source 19 in Maseches Gittin, relates that Unculus, of Targum Unculus fame, who later converted to Judaism, asked Bilam at a seance, Man choshiv ba'ahu alma, who is choshuv, who is significant in the world to come? Omar le Yisroel, he said the Jews are. So then Unculus asked Bilam, Ma'ulid buke b'hu, should I join them, should I convert? Omar le, lo sidro shlomom v'tovosom kol hayamim. Never desire their peace or goodwill all your living days. No matter what Bilam had learned, it made no impact on him whatsoever. And what do you suppose was Bilam's eternal punishment? Source 20. There is no source 20? Okay. It's at the end of 19? Ah, yes. End of 19. So Omar Lay. So he asked Bilam. Unculus asked Bilam, Dine dahu gavra b'mai. How are you being judged? What is your eternal judgment in the world to come? Omar Lay b'shichva zera rosachas. I'm boiling in semen. Precisely what we would have expected. Bilam's character twisted his discoveries into self-serving rationalizations for ever-growing needs. Ultimately, his blindness was so pervasive that he saw himself, the very model of deception, the descendant of the master of deceit himself, Lavan Arami, as supremely straight, as Yoshur. Again, Tomus Nafshi, Mos Yishorim. I am Yoshur. I am Yisroel. Yet, Shlomo HaMelech observes in Koheles, and you'll actually find this on page 1284, in your all-purpose art scroll Chumash, has just about everything. Page 1284, verse 29 in chapter 7. But see, the Hebrew, Levad re'eze motzosi, asher oso eho elukim eso adam yashar. God made man straight, yashar. Vehema bikshu chishvonos rabim, but they sought many intrigues. And the prophet Hosea declares, also conveniently in the art scroll, on a page that I do not, that I have once, two mistakes here. Well, it's in one of the, wow. How did I do that? It's in a Haftorah. All right, we'll have to skip it. Anyone, well, unless somebody has a Tanakh here so I can look up the Pasuk. I didn't print the Pasuk out. Anyone driven by life must make the fundamental choice. Will I be a Talmud of Avram, or will I be a Talmud of Bilam? No matter how much Torah and insight one possesses, no matter how long the tzitzis, or how impressive the standards of kashrus, there is a criterion that is profoundly more fundamental. Whose Talmud are you? How much joy do you experience in others? How driven by ego are you? How demanding are your needs and desires? It is so easy to be fooled, to speak the pious words of Bilam, all the while believing they are the words of a saint. There are those who perform miracles with their words, who are prophets, who make us believe, and yet are Talmidim of Bilam. It wasn't all that long ago that there was one special compliment that could be paid to a Jew, one word that was the highest recommendation for business, marriage, or any position or relationship. In Yiddish, er is an ehrliche Yid. He is a straight Jew. He is yosher. It meant that he was upright and decent, open to criticism. It meant that he was a member of a people who struggle with life and are ready to learn. What does it say about us and our values when the measure of Jewish greatness has become, again in Yiddish, er is a frumriyid. He is a devout and strictly observant Jew. This might point to a loss of fundamental priorities, to a profound crisis of identity as a people. The Haftorah that is paired with the Parsha of Bilam is perfectly suited for it. It is paired with the Parsha that defines the Sefer HaYosher. And this verse says it all on page 1190. Let's look at verses 5 through 8. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, plotted, and what Bilam, son of Beor, answered him. Despite the sin of the spies dispatched from the Shittim, I nevertheless split the Jordan for you when I brought you to the Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of Hashem. With what shall I approach Hashem? Shall I humble myself before God of the heavens? Shall I approach him with burnt offerings, with calves in their first year? Will Hashem find favor in thousands of rams, in tens of thousands of streams of oil? Shall I give over my firstborn to atone for my transgression, the fruit of my womb for the sin of my soul? No. He gidlecho odom matov, he has told you, O man, what is good. Uma Hashem doresh mimcha, and what Hashem seeks from you. Ki yim asos mishpot v'avas chesed v'atznei aleches im elokecha. Only the performance of justice, the love of kindness, and walking humbly with your God. Sorry for going over time. Thank you for your kind attention all of these weeks. And once again, if anyone, I hope I'll see you again next year. No, it's still going to be cold in Jerusalem and warm here, so in all likelihood. Anyway, if anyone wants a book, they are here.